My guest at this time is Alireza Jafarzadeh. He's the deputy director of the Washington office of the National Council of Resistance of Iran. Alireza joins me from Paris, where the NCRI took part in a major conference rallying support for regime change in Iran. We want to get a progress report on the demand for change inside that country and get his reaction to news that an Iranian diplomat was allegedly involved in a terrorist plot against that very conference in Paris. And Alireza, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Greg. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, let's start with the terrorist plot here, and I'm going to read directly from the Wall Street Journal. It says, European security services arrested four people, including an Iranian diplomat, for allegedly planning to bomb an annual gathering of Iranian opposition groups outside Paris last Saturday and are examining whether Tehran ordered the attempted attack. Belgian police on Saturday arrested a husband and wife of Iranian origin after stopping their vehicle in Brussels. In the Mercedes, police said they found an ignition device and 500 grams of TATP, which is a homemade explosive. German police arrested a 46-year-old diplomat at the Iranian embassy in Austria, whom police described as a contact person for the couple. And French police arrested a 54-year-old described as an accomplice. So, Alireza, what does it tell you that this plot existed at all? And what does it tell you that at least some people in the Iranian government may have been involved?
Well, certainly the plot obviously existed because the security forces and intelligence forces of several European countries were involved in uncovering it, from Belgium to France to Germany to Austria and possibly other countries as well. The Iranian resistance had warned in advance from weeks before about the potential attempts by the Iran regime to wait some kind of terrorist activities aimed at disrupting the whole event and also inflicting damage. Thank God that the efforts of the Iran regime did not materialize, and they acted just in time, just as before they were actually going to carry out their terrorist operation and exploding a bomb in a place that, you know, had very sizable, huge crowd there and many, many speakers from around the world. But also, I think it clearly shows, as Speaker Gingrich said in his tweet, that this clearly is an indication of the fear of the Iran regime, of this organized resistance. And especially because this year, this conference was being held in the background of large-scale anti-government demonstrations that has been engulfing the entire nation starting back in December and continuing ever since, and actually heightening in some areas. Interesting, on that day of the rally, and the attempted plot to carry a terrorist attack on the event, the city of Khorramshahr, which is a major southern city in the oil-rich province of Khuzestan, was engulfed in large-scale demonstrations. Only days before that, Tehran, the capital, was engulfed in several days of massive demonstrations in various parts of Tehran. The backbone of the Iranian economy, the bazaar, was on strike, and that preceded a number of other major demonstrations in different parts of the country. So you can imagine how desperate the Iran regime is. On one hand, they're facing their own population. The majority of the 80 million population are very discontent with this regime, and they want change. They're chanting in the streets of Tehran, death to Khamenei, death to Rouhani, calling for an end to the religious theocracy in Iran, opposing the Iran regime's policies of aggression in the region. They were chanting, leave alone Syria, think about us. They were chanting, neither Gaza nor Lebanon, I give my life for Iran. And so all of those things were happening in Iran. And here it is, the most powerful organized opposition that in reality, as the people in the conference suggested, represents an alternative to this regime with everything that an alternative needs in terms of organizational capabilities, in terms of leadership, in terms of clear platform, in sharp contrast to whatever the Ayatollahs represent, in terms of popular support.
Okay, back up just a second there, Ali Reza, and explain what the alternative is.
Absolutely. The alternative to the Iran regime is this, you know, the coalition called the National Council of Resistance of Iran that was formed over 30 years ago, 37 years ago to be exact, and has called for suppression of church and state, has called for ballot boxes being the only criteria for legitimacy, has called for freedom of speech, freedom of political parties, gender equality, religious tolerance, peace in the Middle East, free market economy, and also a non-nuclear Iran. And it is this movement that is interestingly headed by a woman, Mrs. Maryam Rajavi, who actually was the keynote speaker at the rally in Paris on Saturday, who you know, delivered a magnificent speech that you know, highlighted the fact that this regime needs to be brought down, that that there is feasible to bring down this regime by the people of Iran, and that there is an alternative that is not only able to do the job of bringing down the regime, but also in the future, after the fall of the Ayatollahs, it has the capability and all the platforms and everything for running the nation. And that's why the people who were speaking at the event highlighted the significance of the existence of this alternative headed by a woman, Mrs. Maryam Rajavi. And they all, many of them, they've actually said that unlike many countries in the region that didn't really have an alternative to their repressive rulers, in the case of Iran, it's very clear what the future is going to look like, who are the people who can contribute to the process of change from this theocracy to a democracy, a secular democracy in the country.
What's it going to take, though, Ali Reza? What's it going to take? You mentioned that you have the tools and the people are at the point where they can achieve regime change. We know that this regime is going to hang on as long as possible. They've brutally pushed back protests before. They're not going to go quietly. So how do you actually remove them?
Yes, that's a very good question, Greg. You know, the experience in the past few years has shown that, as you correctly said, that this regime is not going to allow the people to just simply protest in the streets and just sweep the Ayatollahs out of power by the simple and mere, you know, protest acts. It requires a lot more than that, and that's why the role of the organized resistance inside Iran, which is what the Mujahideen have, or the MEK, which is a central group with part of this coalition that's been very, very active in Iran. Their role is crucial because they are the ones who are confronting the regime, mostly a lot of young people who are willing to do whatever it takes to confront the Revolutionary Guards. But also, you want to sustain that, but also you need international support because for the regime doesn't have infinite resources. They by building pressure on the Iran regime, especially the economy, which is entirely benefiting the Revolutionary Guards and repressive forces and run by them, you can limit the resources of the regime. You can actually make them suffocate in terms of, you know, economically and resources. But also you want to create an environment for the regime's repressive forces to feel that they're isolated. They don't have the support that they had internationally before, that the world is standing up to them. You also want to send a message of encouragement to the population who are coming to the streets. So you want them to feel that, you know, that they are not alone, that the world is watching them as well as they're watching the regime. So you can, this way you can shift the momentum. And once the momentum is shifted, the ability of the regime will become limited to suppress them. And then, you know, the people are learning the process. They're figuring out how best they can confront them and build their network. They're, you know, they're rebellious units formed by the NEK inside Iran in various cities, who are thinking and looking and finding ways on how to confront the Revolutionary Guards and building encouragement for the population. It's going to take a lot of organized effort to bring down this regime, but we feel that all the elements are already out there. The anger and the discontent of the population is there. And the experience of the organized opposition over the past 30-plus years is actually there. And what was lacking before was the international support and a lot of the regional factors that have now all come to, to a head, plus the uprisings are shaping up. So everyone had this feeling that, the next year or so, or even less, would be absolutely crucial for the process of change, regime change in Iran.
Well, it's certainly an encouraging time for those who hope to see change, given the level of unrest in Iran. So we'll certainly be back in touch with you as developments become aware of the developments. Most of all, Ali, we're glad that you and the others who were there in Paris are safe. And as always, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Sure. I'm very happy that the regime's terrorist plot was not successful. But I think also it was a warning to the rest of the world that you cannot allow the Iranian regime's embassies to operate the way they're operating. I think it was a clear indication, the fact that you had a top Iran regime diplomat who was in charge of the intelligence operations of the Iranian regime in Austria, in Vienna, since 2014, running the show and employing a number of their agents, having a very sophisticated plan that involved different countries. They had done a lot of work and coordination and planning. And I think that's why it's so important for the U.S., all the other European countries, to shut down the Iran regime's embassies in Europe. They've revived everything they were doing before. Remember, 10, 15, 20 years ago, the Iran regime's embassies were heavily involved in a massive round of terrorist operations from Berlin to Geneva to Paris. Almost all the capitals in Europe were involved in terrorist operations carried out by the Iran regime, coordinated and facilitated by their embassies. So one thing that is really being highlighted now by a lot of the politicians, a lot of the observers, is to shut down the operations of the Iran regime and their embassies there, hold the Iran regime and their so-called diplomats that are actually terrorists operating under the cover of diplomats accountable for what they're doing. And I think that's why I think this is an opportunity for the Trump administration to build up the pressure and target really the core of their terrorist operations, which is the Revolutionary Guards. And the Revolutionary Guards, especially in these issues, would never operate until and unless they have full approval and endorsement of the Supreme Leader as well as the President. That's how the Iran regime's operations of terrorism work, has worked over the past few years, and this terrorist plot is also no exception.
Thank you so much for the detailed analysis and obviously for your expert insights on a lot of different things that we've discussed here today. Ali Reza, again, a pleasure to have you as always.
Great. Thank you so much, Greg. Appreciate it.
Ali Reza Jafarzada, Deputy Director of the Washington Office of the National Council of Resistance of Iran. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.